The title of the sermon, if you're taking notes, is called Vessels. So in the past, like in the 1950s, 1960s, like if you study some of the movements of God that happened, right? You hear about people like Billy Graham, right? Who was amazing, and he did these massive crusades all across the world, and thousands of people got saved. And then you hear about people like Reinhard Bonnke, who was like the Billy Graham of Africa, right? He's this German man, and he went to Africa, and he would preach, and again, thousands of people would get saved. And there's a woman as well from around that time period who you may or may not have heard of, and her name was Catherine Kuhlman. And she would say, this is a picture of her, yes. She would say that she was just an ordinary woman like you and I. And the amazing thing was she had the gift of healing. And so she would do these crusades, and she would speak, and she would preach, and she would pray over people, and people would get healed miraculously. And it's really wild, because if you actually hear about it, like there were people like Oral Roberts and different people from that time period who would preach and do ministry. And there's actually eyewitness accounts where, you know, she was so filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the literal Spirit of God that comes and lives in us when we make the decision to follow Jesus. But she was so filled with this Spirit of God, with God's presence, that there's literally eyewitness accounts of her walking through hotels and airports and people literally just falling to the floor because the presence of God was so strong on her. And people who didn't know Jesus were like, what on earth is happening? Like, this is so disruptive in the airport when you're trying to get through security and like people are just falling over. And so they would pull her aside and they're like, Catherine, like, you have to stop this. And she would literally be like, I can't stop it. Like, it's literally not me. This is the presence of God. She's like, if you have a problem with it, like, you have to ask God to stop. But she's like, this literally, like, I can't control it. And so it came to a point where over the course of her life, the people in the airports and hotels, when they knew that she was coming, they would literally take her like through the back kitchen or through like the back hallway with the least amount of people so that it would be like the least amount of people were falling over and the least amount of disruption was happening. Which is like crazy and wild to think about. But if you think about it, as believers, as people who say that we follow Jesus, we're carriers of his presence, right? Romans 8:11 actually talks about it. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us. And I tell our worship team this all the time whenever we do ministry, when we sing out there for Riverboat Days, or, you know, we have Moonlight Madness coming up when we sing out. We're carriers of God's presence. And so absolutely, when we walk into a room, when we go someplace, the atmosphere should shift, not because of us, but because of God's Spirit and his presence in us and on us. Now, I don't know about you, but like Catherine, I want the presence of God to be so tangible, maybe not have people fall around, like falling over around me, but I want the presence of God to be so tangible and evident in my life that it actually causes people to stop and encounter Jesus. See, the truth is, while we might not all be called to be pastors, I believe that God has created each and every single one of us uniquely with a plan and a purpose. And you know, whether we realize it or not, God calls us each to different things. And for some, yeah, it might be in ministry like me, but for others, it could be to be a teacher or a nurse. For others, it could be to be a mechanic or to work in construction. They're all different because God has created us differently. 2 Timothy verse 2:20-21 says, in a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets and silver platters, but waste cans and compost buckets. Some containers used to serve fine meals, others to take out garbage. Become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guests for their blessing. See, the title of the sermon tonight is called Vessel. And a vessel, there's like a glimpse of a little bit of a clay jar, but a vessel in ancient times, in Bible times, was usually like a container to carry things. And so the truth of the matter is, whether we want to or not, or whether we realize it or not, we're all vessels. And we can choose to be a vessel for God, to be a carrier of his presence on earth as a follower of Jesus, to be a carrier of light and hope and everything that Jesus stands for, or we can be a vessel for the kingdom of darkness. A vessel for the enemy. Now, again, like, I don't know about you. I don't know where you are in your walk today with God, but I want to be a vessel for God. And that means that I want to be used by God for his kingdom. Now, if we're honest, and I'm sure if I asked everyone in this room to put up their hand in response to the question, like, I'm pretty sure that all of us would say we want to be used by God, right? Like, if we follow Jesus, we want to be used by God. And sometimes in Christian circles, like, we use this term called anointing. We want to be anointed. That just means used in a special way by God, okay? So we want to be sensitive to God and to his leading, but the reality is that doesn't just like magically happen. There's always a little bit of a cost to following Jesus. And sometimes while we're actually wanting to be used by God, the truth is we aren't always willing to make the sacrifices that he asks us to. Now you might say, okay, Pastor, that's cool, but you know, God chooses who he uses. And I would say, absolutely, God chooses who he uses. But I would also say that we can position ourselves to be used by God. Now you might think, okay, cool, but like how do we be used by God? Well, it's really simple. By walking in obedience and by spending time with him. And so we're going to unpack that tonight. My first point is, how do we be used by God? Well, by walking in obedience. See, one thing I've learned over the course of my life is the more we walk in obedience to God, the easier it actually becomes to hear his voice. And I think when it comes to walking in obedience to God, like sometimes we think it's like big and dramatic, right? We think of people like Peter in the Bible, right? Who, you know, he sees Jesus walking on the water and he's in the boat and he's like, God, if it's you, or Jesus, if it's you, like, tell me to walk on the water. And he just like bold faith. I don't know if I would be that bold, but bold faith. He just gets out of the boat and starts walking on the water towards Jesus. Sometimes we think obedience is big like that, but honestly, sometimes it's a lot more subtle. Sometimes it's literally just listening to that quiet nudge, telling you to turn off the TV or stop scrolling and go spend time with God. Last week, actually, on Thursday, I had a really long day, and I was really tired. And so I got home from work. I had cooked supper. I ate. I was just kind of cleaning up. And I was like, okay, like now it's kind of like me time. I can kind of rest, whatever. And as I was doing that, I just kind of felt like, I feel like I should just go spend time with God right now. It wasn't like this big, like, oh, you need to go do this. It was like, I just kind of feel like I should, so I guess I will. And as I did that, like for me, I'm also a musician. And so usually when I spend time with God, a lot of times I'm sitting at my piano and I'll sing and just worship. But this time around, I was tired. So it's like, I'm going to just turn on my TV. And I'm going to turn on Spotify and I'm just going to let music play. And I honestly was thinking like, okay, like it'll be maybe like, I don't know, 20 minutes and then I'll go do something else. But when I did that, I didn't expect it, but God showed up super tangibly. And so I just spent some time in worship. And then as I was worshiping, I just began to pray. And God was bringing to mind actually a situation for some friends that I have. And so I was, they had like an important meeting. And so I was praying. And I kid you not, I prayed for like an hour and a half which is nuts. Like, that's a long time. And again, I didn't expect to pray that long. And I don't say that like, oh, I prayed for an hour and a half. Like, no. That's not me bragging. It's like, I literally did not expect to pray for that long. Like, that's a long time. But I ended up doing that. The reality is, when we walk in obedience to the Lord, He shows up. There's always fruit in it. And when we're intentional, like, we might need to press in. Like, we might not feel the presence of God right away, but when we walk in obedience to God, He always shows up. He always shows up. And it might not be in the way that we expect or the way that we think. He might not show up in the exact same way all the time, but He'll show up. Because one thing I've learned is that God is responsive, and it's the same. I mean, everything that we do in our lives is an act of worship to the Lord, right? It can be. And whether we're here, like, this whole service is worship, okay? Not just the music. Sometimes we refer to that as worship, but preaching, everything is worship to the Lord. But when we respond to God, when we begin to sing, when we begin to lift up our voices and raise our hands and actually respond to His presence, respond to what He's wanting to say, then God shows up. Not only that, but when God shows up, there's a soul refreshing that happens. There's a refilling of our spirit with the Holy Spirit, which, as I said, is the literal Spirit of God. Because as Pastor Danny mentioned last week, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time thing. It's meant to be continual. And the reality is, I mean, as a church, our mission is to help people find and follow Jesus, but we can't effectively help people find and follow Jesus or really be a light to the in the kingdom of God or for the kingdom of God if we're allowing the oil of God's presence to get low in our lives. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19 says, Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." This is the purpose of the church. And the church is not a building. Church is the people. This is our purpose as followers of Jesus. We're called to be a light. Not to be aggressive, not to be angry or beat people on the head with scripture. No, we're called to reach out in love to others with the love of Christ. Because the reality is there's too many people here in Slave Lake and other places, there's too many people walking around broken, lost and bound by the enemy who need to be set free. Like, people's eternities are at stake. And I sometimes wonder if we as Christians sometimes get so enamored, so caught up with our own selves, our own love, our own selfish desires, that we get complacent and we actually forget the urgency of the gospel meaning the good news. That's what Jesus did on the cross for each and every single one of us. See, if we aren't walking in obedience to the Lord, if we aren't actually living rightly before Him, or we're allowing compromise, we're allowing sin back into the places in our life where God has actually pulled us out from, then the truth is we aren't actually being a good witness to those around us. We aren't actually being a light. And we can't honestly, realistically expect to help people find and follow Jesus if we ourselves aren't walking in obedience to Him and fully following Him. See, sin always causes separation from God. And so if we're choosing to sin or we're choosing to live in disobedience, like, no matter how big or how small, that can actually affect our ability to hear from God and to be a vessel for Him, to be used by Him. Isaiah 59, verse 1-2 says, "Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Now, this might seem like a harsh verse, but scripture also says that God is merciful and slow to anger, not wishing anyone to perish. And so if you're wanting to be used by God, and you're wanting to hear from God, you're wanting to hear him speak, but you aren't, or maybe you haven't even been really walking in obedience, and you know it, just ask for forgiveness and go and do the last thing that God asked you to. Live rightly before him, and he'll lead you. We need to walk in obedience. So, second one. So we need to walk in obedience. That's my first point tonight. Second point. How do we be positioned to be a vessel, to be used by God? We spend time with him. See, as Christians, spending time with God needs to be a priority. Because again, it's how we're filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with his Spirit, when we're filled with his presence, when we recognize it, then we're also sensitive to what God is wanting to do. The more time we spend with him, the more we walk in obedience to God, the easier it becomes to recognize his voice when he speaks. And I've shared this before, but when I was in college, I went to Bible college in Edmonton. And when I was there, we used to do ministry. And so we would travel all across Alberta and some other provinces, just leading worship and singing and doing the music portion of services and for camps and different things like that. And at one point in 2016, we actually even went overseas on a missions trip to Slovakia and Slovenia. And so it was a lot of fun. The first half of the trip, we did like a kids VBS camp in Slovakia and did some worship stuff, but not quite as much. And then in the other 2 weeks after, we went to Slovenia, and it was just like basically doing the music portion for services and youth camp and young adult camp and stuff. And it was a lot of fun. But because I had this team that I had worked with and done music with for so long, and we even stayed in a house together overseas, I had certain people from that team that it didn't matter where we were. It didn't matter how many people were in the room. We could be in a room of like 10, we could be in a room of 50, we could be in a room this size. And as soon as they walked in the door and opened their mouth, I would know. And I wouldn't even have to look at the door. I would know that they walked in because I had spent so much time with them. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. Like, the more time we spend with the Lord, the easier it becomes to recognize when he's speaking. And of course, Holy Spirit, like, we're all different. We're all made uniquely. And so God speaks to his kids uniquely as well. Okay, so for some people, it's like that still small voice. For other people, it's, which the still small voice is like, sometimes that's like a thought or something that's dropped into your mind or your heart. And you're like, oh, where did that come from? But again, like, it doesn't contradict scripture, then that's probably Holy Spirit. And it's not telling you to sin. That's probably Holy Spirit. For other people, sometimes God speaks in like what's called a vision, which is like a picture that you get kind of in your mind's eye. And then for other people, sometimes it's like dreams as well. So God speaks to all of his people differently. And the more time you spend with him, the easier it becomes to recognize when he is speaking and when he's not. But it's important to spend time with him. Realistically, I mean, it's like this in the natural too, right? Like, if you have a friend or you have a significant other, I'm looking out, I see lots of couples too. So if you have your spouse or your significant other, if you talk to them like once a month or once a year, chances are the relationship's probably not going to be that great. As opposed to if you're talking to them every single day, right? It's the same with the Holy Spirit. The more time we spend with him, the easier it becomes to recognize his voice. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. It says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. See, as believers, I fully believe prayer needs to be at the heart of everything that we do because it keeps us connected to God. And I think sometimes in the church world, like, prayer is overcomplicated, right? Like, we think we have to use, like, the biggest, longest words we know, and we have to pray for, like, an hour and a half. We don't. Okay? There's actually no set way to pray. Did you know that? So you can pray with your eyes open. You can pray with your eyes closed. You can walk and pray. You can sit and pray. You can pray while you're driving to work in the morning. You can pray in the shower. You can pray as you are picking up your kids. You can pray as you are at work. You can pray anywhere and anytime. All prayer is literally just a conversation between you and God. Now, I say conversation because that means we listen, okay? Sometimes I think we're really good, and I'm guilty of this too, but we're really good at just like talking at God. And then he wants to respond, but we're like, okay, thanks, bye. We gotta listen. John 15, verse 5, Jesus is actually speaking and he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, we can't actually do anything apart from Jesus. And honestly, it doesn't go well when we try to. In Acts 19, there's a story about the seven sons of Sceva. And so we're going to read that. It's Acts 19, verse 11 to 17. It says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Now, I don't read this story to scare you, but what happened? See, the seven sons of Sceva were religious. It says in scripture they were the son of a priest. So, I mean, that would be the equivalent of like they were the pastor's kids, right? So they likely went to the synagogue, which was the equivalent of like what we would call church. And on top of that, they also likely knew scripture as well, because in Jewish culture, you were considered a man at 13, and that's when you would have your bar mitzvah, and they would have to study and learn scripture. So they went to church. They were like the pastor's kids. They knew scripture. But the reality is they didn't actually have a relationship with Jesus. And they tried to use an authority that they didn't actually have, which is why they were overpowered by the man who was demon-possessed. See, being a vessel for God, being used by God, having power and authority in Christ, like, it doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from our own capability. It doesn't come from our own ability. Like, all of that is given by Jesus. It all comes from Jesus and from having a relationship with him, which is why it's so vital for us as his followers, as people that call ourselves Christians, to be spending time with him. John 17, verse 20, Jesus is actually praying and he says, he's praying to God, but he says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. This is the heart of God. That we would actually walk so intimately and so closely with him, just as Jesus did. Like, you think about that for a second. And I think that's one of the most profound things. I mean, Jesus was constantly saying profound things, but I think that's one of the most profound things that he actually prayed. Jesus, who was literally fully man and fully God, who's one with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, he literally prays that we, his followers, would know him just as intimately as he knows the Father, God the Father. I think that's so beautiful. John 5, verse 19 says, Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." In the same way, church, when we're connected to the Holy Spirit, when we're connected to Jesus, we can only do what he desires. When we build that relationship with Jesus, we don't desire certain things anymore, right? It's like when you're married or in a relationship with somebody, right? Ideally, you're not going to go and sleep around with somebody outside of your marriage, right? Because you're married. God's given you that spouse. There are certain things that you do and don't do out of love and respect for your spouse, right? It's the same with our relationship with Jesus. The more time we spend with God, the less we want to do certain things that will affect or hinder the relationship with him. See, power and authority that's given to us by Christ isn't for us to show off. It's not for us to abuse. It's not to make us look cool. The power and the authority that comes with a relationship with Jesus is always to point back to him, to make him known, and to see people set free. See, one of the things that I've learned is that when the children of God walk in freedom, when they walk in truth, and when they walk out in their full authority that God has given them as co-heirs with Christ, because scripture says we're more than conquerors, we're co-heirs with Christ. We're co-heirs. Then the enemy is afraid. Why? Because if the people of God are actually free and walking out in that authority that Christ has given them, that actually means that the people around them will start to be set free too. Because as it says in Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we carry his presence. So why shouldn't we see the people in our workplaces, the people in our schools, get set free? Prayer needs to be the heart of everything that we do. We'll never grow closer to the Lord unless we spend time with him. Unless we actually listen to what he has to say. See, Holy Spirit knows all things. Holy Spirit can show us things like why that coworker doesn't like us. Holy Spirit can show us what's going on in people's lives. Holy Spirit can give wisdom and discernment, can give us the words to speak in situations and dealing with people. And Holy Spirit can even reveal things for future. See, not only that, but I believe spending time with God is also an equipping. See, when we're filled with his presence, when we're filled with his Spirit, then we're actually empowered to do the things that he's called us to do, and we're actually empowered to be a light for the kingdom of God. So I referenced that missions trip in 2016. So when I was in Slovenia, and I would say the spiritual realm is definitely real. It's maybe not always as visible here in Canada, but it still exists. And sometimes when people go on missions trips, things will happen. So I don't say this to scare you. But when we were in Slovenia, we were in the house, and in the morning we would take time and we would do just kind of like a devotional. So we would just, somebody would take a look at a scripture and then just bring it to the rest of the team. We would kind of talk about it and pray. And I had just been praying and just spending time with God, and I just kind of really had a sense in my spirit, like, man, I don't know what's coming, but I feel like our team really needs to be prayed up. Like, I feel it in my spirit. Something is coming. Like, we have to be ready because it's something big and I don't know what it is, but spiritually, like, something's up. And so I shared this with the team and they're like, okay, we're going to pray. And then a few days later, we were at a worship service and I was on the stage and, somebody was there who was actually, demon possessed, and, God kind of revealed that. And, so it was kind of dealt with. But Holy Spirit kind of warned beforehand what was coming, right? And God did it because he wanted to see that person set free. See, again, walking in power and authority doesn't magically come. That power and authority is given to us by Christ. And it's actually the same authority that God carries. Now, I don't know how to describe it, but in that moment, because I was the one that kind of saw it, I had been on the stage and I kind of saw it from the stage and then found out afterwards this is what was happening. In the moment, I kind of like, not chickened out because I wasn't afraid, but I didn't know what to do just because I had never dealt with something like that before. So I just didn't do anything because I didn't know. And then I debriefed after with my team lead. But in that moment, like, I had a moment where I literally just felt the authority of Christ just rest on me. And I literally don't have words to describe it. Like, I literally wish that all of you could have felt that authority because it was so strong and it was just such a strong feeling of just like, just knowing that God was sovereign and it was like nothing can hurt, nothing can hinder because the presence of the Lord is here. Like, I don't even know how to describe it to you, but that's the same authority that God carries. And it's the same authority that Jesus carried when he walked the earth, but he gives that to us as his sons and daughters. But again, we can never actually walk fully in that authority unless we're living rightly before God, unless we're walking in obedience before him and spending time with him. And I would say, like, spending time with God, like, yes, prayer is important. It needs to be the heart because of everything that we do, because prayer is literally the key to everything. But the other piece to that, I would say, is spending time in God's word. Spending time reading your Bibles and actually knowing what he says. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. See, spending time with God and actually walking in obedience to him, part of that all stems from prayer and reading his word. It's really hard to know when Holy Spirit is speaking if we don't know how he speaks or what he says. And when God speaks, like, oftentimes he'll confirm that it's him. And he'll confirm it in different ways. Sometimes it's through other people, but I would say a good chunk of the time it's through his word that God will confirm things. And so it's really important for us as Christians, as believers, to get the truth of scripture down into us, to actually know what it says, because through that, I believe, like, God can teach us, he can lead us, and yes, he can even correct us when it's needed. One of the other things, though, like, we know if Holy Spirit is speaking because he'll never contradict his word, which, again, that's why it's important to know what his word says, what our Bibles say, because God will never call us to do something that's contrary to how he's called us to live. Okay? So if you're hearing something and it's telling you to do something, I don't know, I'm going to use an extreme example. So you're hearing something is telling you to slap somebody. I'm going to say that's probably not the Holy Spirit. But if you're hearing something and it's telling you to, like, go pray for somebody, or go encourage them, that's probably Holy Spirit. There's only one spirit of truth, and that's the Holy Spirit. Scripture's clear on that. Any other spirit is a lying spirit and a demonic spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not abusive. Holy Spirit will never lie because he's the spirit of truth. He'll never manipulate like you. And as I said, he's not abusive. And so if you're hearing something and something is doing that to you, that is not from God. That is not the Holy Spirit. Because God is gentle. Okay? In scripture, it actually says God is so gentle that there's times in scripture where God will physically, like had physically appeared, and he appeared as a dove. Okay? I don't know if you all have ever seen a dove. A dove is gentle. I've never seen a dove attack somebody. Okay? Holy Spirit is gentle. So when he speaks, he'll confirm things. Okay, so if we truly want to be used by God, we need to be spending time with him. We need to be spending time in prayer. We need to be walking in obedience to him. We need to be reading our Bibles, knowing what he says in his word. And when we do that, I fully believe we position ourselves to be vessels for him, carriers of his presence, to make him known. Now, as I was praying and just preparing for this weekend, I actually got such a sense in my spirit. Church, when we're intentional in spending time with God, like I fully believe God has a plan and a purpose for each person here, but he also has a plan and a purpose for each person in Slave Lake and in our community. And as I said, like there's so many people that are hurting and broken and just need a touch from the love of Jesus in our community. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're intentional in spending time with the Lord and walking in obedience to him, I actually believe that we're going to see things change in our community. We're going to see things change in our workplaces. We're going to see things change in our schools. And it's not us, but it's the Spirit of God in us moving and working and touching people. I fully believe we're going to see people come to church that you might even be shocked that they're at church. And it's because the Spirit of God is already moving and working and touching people's hearts. Now, this whole time, I've been talking about, you know, being a vessel for God, but it's really hard to be a vessel for God if we don't actually have a relationship with him. See, Romans 3:23 says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Meaning what? Well, meaning no matter what we do or how hard we try, like we're not actually good enough, right? Like it's not actually good enough to say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I do, you know, all the things. I help the people and I do good things. That's not actually enough to get into heaven. That doesn't actually give you a relationship with the living God, because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. And the truth of the matter is that God is so perfect and so holy. Like sin can't actually stand in the presence of a holy God. And yet God, in his great love and his great mercy, he sent his son Jesus to die a criminal's death on a cross for each and every single one of us so that he could be in relationship, so that we could be in relationship with him once again. But not only that, like Jesus didn't just die so we could get into heaven. Jesus also died so that we could live a life of purpose. So we could live a life of hope, a life of calling, a life of joy, a life of freedom. John 10:10, this is actually Jesus speaking, and he says, I've come that they may have life more abundantly. And so if that's you tonight and you're just feeling like, yeah, like I want that. I want a relationship with Jesus. Then we're just going to pray a prayer. Really simple. Just to express what we're feeling in our heart. And so if we could all close our eyes, bow our heads. And church, for those of you that have prayed it, if you could just pray along, just so if somebody is praying it, they're not singled out or left out. So Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for your love. I ask you now to forgive me of all my mistakes and all my sins. Make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.